It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. Updates from Frank Reich on the disposition of both T.Y. Hilton and Xavier Rhodes today during his media appearance. And I just want to mention two things. Number one, it's A.J. Smith's birthday. Happy birthday to A.J. Smith. Number two, Ivan O'Idle had a weekend for the ages, 7-0, not just picking the easy games like Indiana-Michigan, which was easy. He went 4-for-4 in different bets, Indiana-Michigan. But he also picked the Jaguars over the Bills on the money line, which was enormous. Picked the Titans over the Rams. Now, he didn't take the money line. It was Titans were +7.5, but the Titans, they won outright, not just covered. And then he also took the Browns on the money line at +115. A huge weekend for Ivan O'Idle. This is Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. It is Monday, November 8th, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry, Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best dentist in the business. I'm telling you, best decision I ever made about my teeth came 28 years ago when I called Dr. Mike O'Neill's office and I said, can you help me? And he said, absolutely, I can. Come on in. Never gone anywhere else since. 317-849-2933 is the number. So here's the update Frank Reich gave earlier today about T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton is still in the concussion protocol, but they hope to have him back at practice this week. That is the final box that needs to be checked to get out of protocol and be added back to the active roster. That is, actually, you're still on the active roster when you're in concussion protocol, but you understand what I'm saying. If T.Y. wants to play on Sunday against the Jaguars, he's got to go through practice. He's got to get through it without showing any symptoms of the concussion. And from that point on, he's cleared to play. It's that easy. Xavier Rhodes, according to Frank Reich, is trying to kind of get through this calf injury that keeps dogging him and hopes that the extra rest, an extra 3 days this week, helps him get out ahead of it. If that happens, the Colts, they're going to be virtually at full strength or as close to full strength as they can get. The Braden Smith injury that they thought was a triceps injury, now it turns out to be an elbow injury. I don't know which you'd rather have, triceps or elbow. I don't know. I don't think any are good. So hopefully Braden Smith is able to kind of move through an ability to be mobile and be pain-free and not put himself at risk playing this coming Sunday against the Jaguars, who all of a sudden aren't just a stepping stone, aren't just a walkover game, as they beat the Buffalo Bills 9-6 yesterday. What a game that is. A game for the ages. I know the Jaguars won, but do you think the fans in Jacksonville, they were thrilled with that? That they said, hey, I'm glad I came and I watched all these field goals. This is tremendous. I doubt it. I remember 9-6 games for the Colts back in like 1993 and 1994. Seemed like a big number of 9-6 games. I went to the games. Hell, if the Colts won, I enjoyed it. So maybe the Jaguars fans did. No thought, according to Frank Reich, of releasing Marlon Mack. And why would they? So he can go somebody else, somewhere else, and the Colts don't get compensated? What kind of idiocy would that be? Marlon Mack is 1,000-yard back. And if Jonathan Taylor gets hurt, you need somebody to plug and play. And that guy is Marlon Mack. If you release Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor gets hurt, you're going to have to go out and sign another Marlon Mack. How dopey would it be to release him? You know what? We'd like him to play for somebody he would invite. Let's get him. Let's move him on. It's only fair to Marlon Mack. This is not the way the NFL works. What kind of crazy-ass question was that, for goodness sake? There's been a bit of a debate on this channel in the comments about Quiddy Pay and Denico Autry. People saying that the Colts absolutely blew it. Chris Ballard, what was he thinking? It was malpractice to allow Denico Autry to move on to the Tennessee Titans. It was malpractice to allow Justin Houston to sign with the Ravens. It was malpractice to allow Anthony Walker to move on to the Cleveland Browns. No, it wasn't. Denico Autry is being soundly outplayed by Quiddy Pay. Don't just take my word for it. Take Pro Football Focus and their grading system. Quiddy Pay, among edge defenders, is ranked 19th in the NFL with a grade of 79. Granted, Pro Football Focus, you know what? It's flawed in some ways, the grading system, but it isn't biased. It doesn't, you know, grade with its heart. These guys don't. And so there is a level at which you can look at these grades as apples to apples grading. Denico Autry for the Titans, he is ranked 55th with a grade of 66.9. Last year, if you want to look at what he did last year for the Colts, he was ranked 63.7, or he was graded 63.7. Quiddy Pay is playing really, really good football, especially against the run. Not a lot of sacks, I know that. But he is making an impact playing the game in the way that the Colts want him to, and that is at a higher level than Denico Autry did. If you look at Bobby Okereke, I know it's Okereke. Bobby Okereke compared to Anthony Walker. Bobby Okereke playing at a much higher level than Anthony Walker did last year. It's not even close if you look at Pro Football Focus. So, there you go. Now, as far as Justin Houston, Justin Houston versus Tyquan Lewis, or maybe you have Tyquan Lewis against Denico Autry and then Justin Houston and Quiddy Pay. Maybe that's more apples to apples. Still, the Colts come out ahead. Quiddy Pay is playing at a higher level than either of those guys. All right, tomorrow's opening night schedule for college basketball off the hizzy, right? You got Eastern Michigan at IU, that game at 6 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. You've got IUPUI at Butler, 6:45. That game is not on TV at all. Bellarmine at Purdue on BTN+. That game's at 7. So, Purdue fans, if you want to watch, you're going to have to pony up and subscribe for BTN+ or to BTN+ for the next month. That's going to cost you about $10. Ball State at Georgia Southern, that game is on ESPN+. Lots of college basketball tomorrow night. Here are 10 things that you want to look for if you're an Indiana University basketball fan as Mike Woodson's era begins. You're going to want to watch the defensive intensity. Do all five Indiana players communicate and commit to stopping Eastern Michigan every single possession? Are they bought in to being a group of five who defend with tenacity? That's going to be interesting to watch for me. We haven't seen that at Indiana on an ongoing basis or even from possession to possession in a long time. I'm going to want to watch shot selection also. Will all IU players take shots when they're open? Will Rob Phinisee shoot the ball when he's open to shoot it? Will Trace Jackson Davis shoot the ball or is he going to attack the rim? What about Race Thompson? What about the new guys? What about Parker Stewart? What about Xavier Johnson? What about Christian Lander? Good questions about all these guys. Don't pass up open shots. We've seen it for years where with 23 seconds left on the shot clock, Indiana passes up an open shot and doesn't get another one. You've got to shoot the ball when you're open. Number three, how aggressive will Trace Jackson Davis be possession to possession? That's important to watch. Last year, I thought he took a big step over his freshman year. Became much more aggressive with the basketball last year. I think he's got a step higher that he can hit. If he averages, what did he average last year, 18, 19? I think he's got to kick that up 3 points. And I've got the way he can do it. We'll get to that in a minute. Number four, what kind of demeanor will Mike Woodson show on the sidelines? Do you know this? This was interesting. I looked this up today. Mike Woodson, when he coaches his first game tomorrow night, will be more than 4 years older than Bob Knight was when Bob Knight coached his last game at Indiana. How about that? What I hope Mike Woodson does, and I think he will, I think he's going to sit and watch a game. He's not going to pace back and forth. I don't think there's going to be any of that nonsense. And if there is, I'm calling him. And I'm going to say, please stop that. What are you doing? I don't think Mike Woodson is a... I don't think he's about that. So we're not going to see that anymore, which is a step in the right direction. Number five, free throws. All right, here is the ineptitude Indiana has shown from the foul line over the last 4 years under Archie Miller. Last year, they hit 66.5%. That ranked 300th among, I think, 353 Division I programs. 67.9% in 2020. That ranked 271st. 65.5% in 2019, that ranked 328th. 65.7% in 2018, that ranked 331st. You cannot win if you surrender points at the foul line through being inept at shooting foul shots. You must make foul shots at a higher level than Indiana has. If you look at the games that Indiana lost, two overtime games last year, right? Indiana had a chance to be legitimate or at least have a winning record last year. I think they finished 12-15, right? They would have been 14-13 if they had won the two games that they lost in overtime. You got to take care of the basketball and you got to score it when you got it, and that includes at the foul line. Number six, can IU win more than two straight for the first time since December 21st of 2019? It's been almost two calendar years since Indiana has won three in a row. That's unbelievable. What? How's that possible? Will IU shoot threes? Over the time that Archie Miller was here, they took, of their field goal attempts, this percentage was from beyond the arc, 32.1, 29.6, 33.6, and 34.1. None of those amounts, none of those percentages ranked in the top 250th in college basketball. You cannot win in college basketball without being able to shoot threes. Tops, just for some kind of perspective, it was Wofford with 51.7. The sweet spot seems to be between 39 and 41%. Indiana, again, somewhat, you know, anywhere between 29% and 34%. Over the last 3 years, the grim Archie Miller era. Will IU make threes? Over the last 3 years, here are some more numbers. They hit 32.4%, 32.6%, 31.2%, and 32.2%. None rank. Last year was the best in terms of ranking. That, 2 years ago was. They finished 204th in Division I. And again, for perspective, Baylor was number one in three-point percentage last year. They hit 41.3%. Iowa hit 40.5%. You know what Baylor did last year. Trace Jackson-Davis, is he getting to the line? Is he cashing in? He was top 10 last year in drawing fouls, 7.2 a game. He missed 79 free throws. Not attempts, right? Those were attempts that all came up empty. 79. That's almost three per game. 27 games, 79. That's 2 points short of three per game. 3 points per game is a hell of a lot of points to give up just because you can't make foul shots. Now, I don't expect Trace Jackson-Davis to make 100% of his foul shots, but he has got to make more than the 65%-ish he has been good for his first 2 years at Indiana. All right, number 10, who starts, who comes off the bench? Will Mike Woodson have a quick trigger? As somebody shows an inability to lock down and focus defensively, is Woodson going to grab that guy, pull him out, throw him down at the end of the bench? I hope so. I'd like to see that happen. Will the lineup be fluid? Will it be matchup-based? I want to see all that stuff. They got a lot of guys who can play and a lot of guys who are experienced at playing basketball at this level. All 13 have logged major minutes at whatever program they came from. We don't even talk about Miller Kopp. Miller Kopp's going to make threes. We need to watch all that last night. By the way, Tom Crean is on the hot seat. According to ESPN, his seat is hot at the University of Georgia. I know I'm hypercritical of Tom Crean. I just am. They should not fire Tom Crean. I don't think they can get a better coach to go to Georgia. He's taken steps in the right direction each of his 3 years. I think, you know what, he's not a great coach, but he's about the best that Georgia's going to get. The mistake that Tom Crean made, and I said it at the time, as soon as he got hired, you know what he did? He went out to the frats and the sororities and tried to pitch Georgia basketball as something the kids are going to want to do. They're going to want to go to games. What was the problem with that? Georgia, as a basketball program, was not ready to be marketed. You dragged people into an arena to watch a product that sucked. That first year, they weren't very good at all. 2 wins in the SEC. That's not good. Overall in the SEC, 14-40. They do continue to get a little bit better. 2 wins the first year, 5 the second, 7 the third. That's a trend in the right direction. Maybe now you can look at kids in the eye and say, come on, come to the game. You're going to have a hell of a time. That first year, you don't do it. It is the biggest mistake that people make in launching something, like Tom Crean launched his version of Georgia basketball in Athens 3 years ago, is marketing to people before the product is ready to be viewed or consumed. That is a problem. And so we'll see. Like I said, a little better each year. You know what? Georgia, minus 1 week in 2011, hasn't been ranked at all since 2003. That's Georgia basketball. Tom Crean is going to get that thing moving a little bit more forward every single year, and you're going to be happy if you held on to him, Georgia. I know I can't believe that's coming out of my mouth myself. Breakfast with Kent tomorrow. I can't wait to talk to you then. It's opening day, college basketball. I cannot wait to watch Indiana at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Purdue, like I said, at 7. Butler, you can't watch. Ball State, I'm looking forward to seeing at some point this year. I think that Ball State is going to turn a corner this year. I'm looking forward to Chirp Chirp. Let's go Cards. Anyway, Breakfast with Kent tomorrow morning. An ebullient Breakfast with Kent. Enthusiasm. Energy. It's what we're going to bring, and we bring it every single day, but especially on opening day, right? You're damn right. All brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry.